of the whole Bible. Next week it'll probably be the next chapter I mentioned. I'd send the Miller out with my favorites. I'm serious. I love Matthew 13. This is the first text that really, it started to click for me. I was in late high school. Most of this chapter, the whole chapter, well, most of it, towards the end, there's kind of a punctuation mark to remind us what it was all about. Because we can get lost in these parables. Parables. And you all know what a parable is. A parable is just simply an analogy, right? You don't know about X, but you do know about Y. So let me think about Y. I'll tell you what. X is like Y this way. And then you go, oh, we know. We get it. Right? And there's all kinds of fun ways to, and technical words we can use. But basically, there's the thing we're talking about. And then there's the thing we're really talking about. Right? What was a good one I came up with the other day? I come up with good ones. And bad ones. Sometimes my bad ones are my favorite. Do you remember any? I really should remember to see if she's not listening. yeah, oh good! I remember you did. Thank you, baby. I'm sorry, I put you on the spot, didn't I? That's a great way to have a conversation at the church. Jesus is telling these parables. You know all of them. Why is he telling these parables? Well, check it out. If you remember, at the end of last week's, I'll just remind us what it was. This is what Jesus was doing. While he was still speaking to the people, behold, meaning, check this out. When you see behold, the Greek word there is, and look at this. It's kind of like a mischievous thing. Like, and check this out. Check this out. His mother, Mary, and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. Remember, this is literature. Outside is an important word. Where are his mom and his brothers? They're outside. And what do they ask? Well, some guy says, like a good dude would, hey, then we're an ancient Near Eastern culture. Your mom is important. Your family matters. Your mom wants to talk to you. Your brothers are out there. And what does Jesus say? Who is my mother and who are my brothers? Which at first is like, okay, we know who they are, but that's kind of an offensive question to ask. Mother who? Brother who? And then Jesus takes a beat, and he gestures to his disciples, and he says, these are my mother and my brother. And then he explains, he says, for whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. If God is my Father, then whoever is interested in obeying the Father's will, whoever is about the will of my Father, they are my siblings. They are my mother. This week I was very pleased to know I have many mothers in this church. I love it. I need it. I've come to terms with that. If you talk to my mom, you'll notice, you'll know if she says, does Dan like receiving correction? And she'll smile and say, no. Does Dan take advice well? She'll smile and say, no. Why? Because I don't, but I've come to it. I've come to realize I need it. A few many times, Mom would say on my way out the door, did you put on deodorant? And I'd say, no, I'll go get it. I'll go get it. I do need that stuff. What I'm saying is, Jesus is relocating what it means to be inside for his community. What does it mean to be kin? Again, Jesus is kin. Are those who love and are devoted to the will of God. And look, he says, do the will of my Father. Not just listen, not just, but what is the will? Well, right there and then, the will of God was to listen to Jesus. To listen to Jesus. Who's outside? The people demanding Jesus listen to them. And it doesn't matter that that's his mom. It doesn't matter that that's Mary up there. It doesn't matter that it's his brothers. The people listening to Jesus are the ones doing the will of God. That's not a mistake. That's supposed to be the start of Matthew 13. That paragraph right there. I don't know if you know this, but even the guy who did it, some French dude, and while he was on a horse, or sometimes a donkey, imagine, I don't know. He would go between cities, and on his way, he was just writing verse numbers in his Bible. Because people, when they talk about the verses in the Bible, it's kind of easier just to be like, you know, Matthew 3, verse 11. And then you just go. He's just writing coordinates. And it doesn't matter where they go. But for some reason, he even joked, sometimes I would pick up a chapter because the horse stumbled. And it just landed wrong. And I went with it. The chapters and the verses mean nothing. So I want you to understand, that was supposed to be from verse 13 to 46 to 50, I believe. That's supposed to be the beginning of our chapter. Jesus is saying those outside are those not interested in listening to me and doing the will of God. So, the reason I make that point is, check out how verse 13:1 starts. That same day, and actually the word is at that same, oh, let me look it up, because I'm about to make a mistake if I'm not right. Yeah, that same day. So we're supposed to make this connection. At the same time, this is connected. This is related to that. Obvious. That same time, what? Jesus goes out of the city and he sits by the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. Mark makes this a little clearer for us. Basically, Jesus has to go out to the country because he's getting surrounded. And then people are pressing on him for miracles. They're really getting close. And he needs the help of a natural barrier of a lake. So he gets into a boat and he pushes out. Why? Because now is the time for listening to Jesus. Now is not a time for healing. Now is not a time for miracles. Now is not a time for me to meet the needs you think you have. Now is the time to listen to Jesus. He gets into the boat, he pushes off, he creates this barrier so people have nothing to do with him except for the opportunity to listen. And he told them many things in parables. And then he told this one. And if you look at your Bibles, does anyone have a Bible out? Does it have a little title? It says the parable of the sower. Who's got another one? Is that near to? It says a story about planting seed. That's Katie. I like it. I want you to know something. This is not about the sower. This parable is not about the sower. This parable is not about the seed. It's about the soils. Hence the title today is, cleverly, it's about the soils. Boy, I hope I actually made that happen though. Hey, yeah, sermon. It's about the soils. Because the only detail that changes is the soil. Now, Jan, you did a really good job. Did you guys hear it well enough though? Do you mind if I do it just real quick? He says, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And what's a path, right? It's just ground that people happen to walk down all the time. And I have some of this grass in my yard where my kids happen to travel. And it's grass that gets a little it gets trampled, okay? So this is soil that's been trampled. It's been tread on consistently. It happens to be in people's way enough that it gets trampled upon. And that makes it compact. That makes it soil that's hard. And the thing about these ancient farmers, we have farmers in here. They know. When you're going out and you're sowing seed, or you're just throwing all the seed anywhere you can, you're probably aiming. Why? Because seed is not free. Seed's not free. And that's not untrue for them. In fact, they know that they don't have all the seed in the world. They were there last year when they chose what seed to keep and store. And they know how much they have. They're not just broadcasting the seed. They're trying to aim. And Jesus says, but some happen to fall on a path. Nothing wrong with that. But what happens to those that fall on the path? The birds came and devoured them. That's what birds do. Man, I'm trying to plant this little chipping green in my backyard. And I really wish it was easy enough. I just throw my bent grass seed out there. But I did a little bit because I was really hoping. And the birds came and they just ate it up. Why? You gotta put seed in soil. Because an easy meal is an easy meal. Other seed fell on rocky ground. This is trickier for us. The soil is different out there in the Middle East. You have typically only in some places, and especially in Judea, where it's on hills, only a couple inches of soil. And then you get to hard, then you get to bedrock kind of stuff. And that means that the water doesn't go very far down. So the water hangs out for a bit. And it also means when the roots shoot down, they don't have anywhere to go, and so they just kind of spread out wide. And then you get to see a plant shoot up to the surface. And it grows fast because it gets better water. And it doesn't have anywhere to go down. But the issue is, what? He says, immediately they sprang up, and since they had no depth of soil, when the sun rose, they were scorched. Deep roots are protected from the heat of the sun. But since they had no root, they withered away. Then he says, other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Weeds. When we talk about choking, we mean these weeds, and we know weeds, they're very good at growing. And if you just let them grow among the crops, they'll steal up all the nutrients. Some of you are very practiced in trying to make sure your corn, your beans, your wheat gets what it gets. And it costs money to put fertilizer in the ground. Why spend that on a wheat? See? You don't want it. Other seeds fell on, and this is the point, good soil. And how do we know it's good soil? Look, it produced grain, some 100-fold. Some 60, some 30. Farmers, is that a good yield? Is 30 times what you sowed a good yield? Even the lowest is a great yield when it lands on good soil. And then notice this little line. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now I need you to understand something. In Greek, they have a feature in their language we do not. A third person imperative. I can only command people in the second person. Right? So I can only tell my son, Ethan, go to your room. And he would have to go to his room, hopefully. But I can only talk to him directly. In Greek, we have a third person. It means I can say, Ethan, he should go to his room. Right? I can't just make that command in the third person, but in Greek, you can. Ethan, go to his room. That's how it works. And so at the bottom, it's not a polite invitation where it says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus isn't just saying, hey, if you get it, you should get it. You hear me? He's saying, listen, this matters. And if you get it, you know what to do, and I urge you to do it. He's saying, if you get what I'm telling you, you need to invest into what I'm telling you. Now, let's go ahead and let's just explain this parable, because it's very easy. He explains it actually starting in verse 18, and we'll just let him do it. Hearing the parable of the sower, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. There are people in this world and their lives have been trampled. Their hearts have been trampled. And when they hear the kingdom, their hearts are too hard. They can't receive it. And the enemy looks at that as an opportunity for an easy meal. That's tragic. This is what was sown along the path. Verse 20. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word. We know this guy. Hears the word, receives it with joy. Oh, I'm so excited. I just learned about this Jesus guy. I'm giving my whole life to him. Yet he has no root in himself. So he endures for a while, but when tribulation or persecution arises, because of the word, it withers. Sometimes we get the word, we hear it, and we love it, and we're all about it. And we forget that. When we love Jesus, it puts a target on our back. And it gets a little tough sometimes. Things get messy. Things get weird. You get confused. And so you give up. I guess I was wrong. Verse 22, as for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. Some people get the word, it's implanted in their heart, they get it, but that's not the only thing they let be in their hearts, is it? They allow the weeds to stay. They let the seeds have roommates. Weeds. And what kind of roommates can we let be in our hearts when we accept the word that Jesus is Lord? I gotta earn a living, don't I? Man, if I just made a little more. I know I'm missing time with my family, but if I just made a little more, I could give them the life they want. But forget my family, I want a boat. I don't get the boat stuff. Now we talk about golf. We can let a lot of stuff live in our hearts. It's not wrong to have passions, hobbies. You gotta work. You gotta provide for your family. But at some point in time, when you can tell something's choking out the seed, you gotta uproot that stuff. And you gotta be brutal. When is it easiest to uproot a weed? When you just catch it just starting. Right there and then. Y'all, I had a weed garden in Quincy, didn't we, Amy? Look at her life. We had bought this old house with raised beds, a radio irrigation system with a timed irrigating sensor. And I tell you what, that raised garden created some of the most beautiful weeds. Big, tall things. I don't even know what they're called. I had a friend who's like, man, we have these sometimes, we just inject the Roundup right into it. It's real fun. The next day it's all gone. I said, oh, but I like this one. I named him Robert. I tell you, when I had to sell that house, because I did, the hardest thing I had to do was pull up those weeds. And that wasn't an emotional toll. That was hard on my body. You let weeds stay. They get comfy. They don't want to leave. Pull them up when it's early. Verse 23. And for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word, understands it. Indeed, he bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, another 60, and in another 30. When you plant a seed as a farmer, you're not just doing it because you want to give a good home to the corn. Huh? You're doing it because you're expecting to reap a harvest. When God planted his word in your heart, he was placing a bet. And it's up to you to decide. It really is. Whether or not he placed a bad bet. Now check this out. Why is Jesus talking in parables? Let's be clear. Parables can be confusing. They can be confusing. In fact, if I just told you a bunch of parables and I didn't tell you the moral of the story, you wouldn't get it. Actually, this morning, my son pitched a fit. That's right, boy, I'm putting you on blast. He pitched a fit because he got deep into Mario, Super Mario, this weekend. We watched the Super Mario movie 3 times yesterday. And we let him because we needed a break. He watched it 3 times. This morning, the first thing he wants to do is play the Nintendo Switch. He wants to get Mario Odyssey out. He wants to throw the hat at the Bob-omb and become a dinosaur. All that kind of stuff. Great. The game's great, guys. But it was time to put it away and go to church. I said, it's time for us to go celebrate Jesus. And he whined. He whined. He went limp. He fell on the ground. He made a huge deal of it. And I, for the first time, I don't think I've ever felt that mad at my son. And I said, go to your room. I have to think about how to talk to you. And of course he whined. I said, you can cry all the way to your room. Multitask. So he went up there and he cried. Guys, this was at 9 a.m. I had to be, that's why I was late today, and I'm sorry. And I had to think, how do I talk to this boy? And I remember, bro, you're about to teach the parables. Hey, I bet you I can pull that off. And I went upstairs and I told my son the story of the dog who bit the hand that fed him. I said, I want you to understand something. When Jesus found me, I was a mean, scared, hungry, lonely dog. And he fed me, he tucked me in, he gave me a family, he gave me friends. I will never bite that hand, and I won't let you learn that it's okay. I want you to know that I'm taking you to church because I want you to see your dada celebrate Jesus. Because it's been the key to my whole life is this wonderful Lord of mine. I said, now it's up to you to choose whether or not you're going to love Jesus. That's fine. But for now, you're going to go to church. And you're not going to want it. Because I gave you that switch. Do not bite the hand that feeds you. Parables are great, guys. He listened the whole time. 10 minutes I got out of this kid. You saw these kids. They don't stay still. Parables are insane. They're very effective. This is why Jesus is doing it. But you notice, at the end, I had to explain it. There was a moral to it. He got captivated by the story. And he wanted to know how this story has something to do with me. And I told him, study you can be the dog. Do you want to bite the hand that feeds you? Or do you want to respect it? And realize sometimes it's not always going to give you what you want, but it will always give you what you need. Parables are powerful, but they do need to be explained. So why does Jesus pick parables? Why is he teaching in parables? Isn't he the great teacher? Isn't the point of teaching to make things clear? No! Emily Dickinson, I had a friend in seminary remind me, told me this poem. Emily Dickinson, she had a poem called Tell the Truth or Tell It Slant. If you just hand people the answers to life, they don't want it. It's not fun, it's not interesting, it's not engaging. It just sounds like nagging. So what Jesus is doing is just wrapping it in a little curious story. But check out what happens. Verse 10. The disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? So now we have an us-them happening. These are the disciples. These are the 12. These are the people who have come close to Jesus, who have given their lives to Christ, who have been following him. And they heard the parables, and they were like, I don't get it. Also, why are you doing this? But didn't they just come to him and say, teacher, will you make this clear to us? Did Peter go to Matthew and say, this guy in parables, huh? I don't get it. No, they trust Jesus. They know they have and they want answers. Just go to the teacher. Why did you do this? Now, here's his explanation. He says, to you, my family, my kin, those who are doing the will of God, who are invested and interested in listening and hearing to what I am saying, to you have been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to them it has not been given. There's a deciding line. The kingdom isn't for everybody. Who is it for? Those who do the will of God. But right now, the will of God is to listen to Jesus. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. Jesus is saying, I'm not wasting my time. I'm not one of those farmers who goes out, just grabs a handful and just throws it all out there. Seed is precious. I don't have forever, Jesus says. I got like 3 years, 4 years before the Romans and the religious elite figure it out and try and kill me. And that's going to happen, and I need that to happen, and I'm ready for that to happen, Jesus says, but I need you to understand some things before that happens. So Jesus says, I don't have time
to teach these other people who don't care about me. You see, when you have miraculous healing powers, people notice and they gather, but not all of them are interested in you. They're interested in the healing. And this is Jesus' way of vetting people. Do you hear what I'm saying? Jesus is literally putting up barriers. And he's saying, listen, if you want to hear, if you have a passion for me, if you want to learn, Jesus says, not only am I going to give you what you want, I'm going to give you more and more and more. The more you listen to me, the more I'll give you than you even expect. If you give me 5 minutes of listening, Jesus says, I'll give you an hour of fruit. The ratio is the same. But he says, you got to give me something. He says, but those who happen to accidentally get some seed, those lucky people who had a chance and still didn't want it, he says, they don't get it. I'm taking it away. Hear it again. For to the one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who is not, even what he has will be taken away. And this is why I speak to them in parables. And then he references Isaiah 6. Because seeing, they don't see. They see me doing what I'm doing. They hear me doing what I'm doing. But they don't get it because they don't care. And hearing, they didn't hear, nor do they understand. And why don't they care? Well, they certainly don't get it. If they get it, if they had it, if they understood what this was, they probably would have paid attention. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. It says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For why? Why would that happen? 15, for this people's heart has grown dull. Fat. Lazy. Callous. And with their ears, they can barely hear. And their eyes, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I would heal them. This is frustration. Let me paint a picture for you just real quick. What happens in the book of Isaiah is God has made this contract with Israel. He says, I'll give you this land, and I'll give you these laws. I will teach you. I will give you everything you need. And as long as you're faithful to me and the plan I've given you, you will be a powerful channel of blessing to this whole world. Just like the Queen of Sheba heard about Solomon and the greatness of Israel and came to Israel seeking enlightenment, so you, Israel, are to be a kingdom of priests, but you have to follow my rules. Guess what? They didn't. Did God just give up on them? No, he gave them generations of these guys called prophets. Their whole thing was to show up and say, guys, you're not doing the contract. And the reason they needed to do the contract is because God's not just going to give it to them. Not going to just hand the blessings. They need to obey him. And when they don't, the blessings aren't just withdrawn, but what they have is taken away. Listen, if you don't want it, you don't get it. But God loves his people and he wants them to get it. So he sends these prophets. Even though they've already in their hearts made up their mind, he says, listen, this is our last chance. And I tell you what, Isaiah, you go and you preach, but I know what's going to happen. As you preach, they're going to hear and their hearts are going to get harder. You're going to say, guys, it's about to happen. God's about to punish you. And they're going to hear it, and instead of saying, like the Ninevites, oh, shoot, well, let's get right with the Lord. Instead of saying that, what they say is, we've heard this before. He's not punished us yet. I doubt your God's even real. That's what happens. And you hear this as exasperation in God, who says, you're just going to have to finish the process. Let's get them all the way. If they don't want me, let's make sure. Let's get out there, and Isaiah, you make this last call, and if their heart's hardened, so be it. But it's time. And so what Jesus is saying is, listen, I preach in parables. When people hear the parables, they're either like, what was that? And then they come ask. say, what was that? This guy's crazy. Good thing he healed me. Whatever. There are two responses to Jesus. When he is there and speaking to you, you can listen or you can not. Do you have ears to hear? The point of the soils, this parable, is to ask you, all right, Matthew says, I'm putting together this whole story. And I've really showed you this Jesus guy. And I've also showed you how these other people reacted to Jesus, how the Pharisees reacted, how the disciples reacted. And you know the disciples aren't perfect. You saw that they mess things up regularly and that they don't totally get it. But every time, what's their response? They come to Christ and they ask for help. And what does he do? He explained the parables to them. And that's the point. So what Matthew is saying is, I'm about to get real deep into some stuff about true greatness, about what it really means to love God and what it really means to enter the kingdom of heaven. But it's hard work. It's challenging stuff. And you need me to disciple you, Jesus says. And if you're not serious about this, you'll be wasting my time because the time is short. And so Matthew says to you and to me and to this whole world, he says, here's your choice. What kind of soil are you going to be? There are days where I feel like I've been trampled. I feel hard. There have been days in my life where someone said, God bless you. And I got mad. Let me tell you about my blessing God. Today he didn't the way I wanted. And my heart was hard because, man, we get trampled, don't we? How many farmers let people just trample through their fields? There's some soybeans growing just around the corner of my house. It's actually across the street. It'd be very easy to get in my F-150 and just drive through it. In fact, I've thought about it because it would save me about 1 minute. What would happen if I did that? Ooh. I think that's right. Maybe I get shot. A good farmer doesn't let hard soil stay in their fields. In fact, they make a regular practice of doing what? Tilling, breaking, softening. That's something we gotta do sometimes. We gotta soften our hearts. Just because people trample on us doesn't mean we get to let our hearts stay hard. We have to do the hard work. And I tell you what, when we go to the Lord, we say, man, I'm feeling hard. He says, all right, let me let it rain. And let's break that soil up. And I'll tell you this too. What was the other one? The shallow soil? God's willing to use dynamite and blast some stuff. It's going to be hard. It's going to be weird. It's going to be humiliating. It's going to be embarrassing. Sometimes the path to discipleship feels like being torn down. Feels like being broken. And many of us need to be broken. Not just softened, but destroyed. But that's sometimes what it takes for the seed to find purchase. No soil is permanent. Y'all know rocks are just, soil is just little rocks. Gotta break that stuff down. Nothing's permanent. And you can pull weeds. We've talked about that. We have a choice to make. What kind of soil are you going to be? Will you receive the teaching of Jesus? Hold fast to it. If you feel like you're hard, are you going to hold fast to it and let him break that soil up a bit? Are you going to trust him? I suggest you do. Because to the one who receives and has, more will be given. It gets better. I promise it gets better. I'll leave you with this thought. Did you know when smokers stop smoking? For like, how long is it? A couple weeks? About a month. They are far worse off. Because for the first time in a long time, they let their bodies develop whatever mechanisms. I think they're little digestive thingies. I picture all these weird fingers in our intestines. What are they called? Cilium. But their whole job is to push them up and out. And when you stop smoking, they finally get to recover. They get to come back to life. And for a month, they have a lot of work to do. Because you've shoved coal down your face for about decades. I don't know, my dad quit. He made this very, that was very much it. Sometimes when you quit smoking, it's worse. You gotta persevere. Sometimes when a seed lands, it gets tough. You gotta hold on to it. So now you have a choice. What soil are you gonna be? Let's move to our time of invitation. I want to invite you, let's go ahead and start standing. I want you to consider joining our church if you don't belong. You see that we're on a mission here. We're trying to build a community. A community that preaches Jesus Christ. Not just by word, but in deed also. If you want to join our little project, please do. It's not always going to be easy. There's going to be hiccups. And I'll to be honest, sometimes we're not going to like each other too much. It happens. But if you can persevere with us, we're going to build something wonderful in this community. We'll do some real change. Or, if you haven't even gotten to thinking about church membership, maybe you're still on the fence about this Jesus guy. If you're in that category, forget churches. You need to get shaped on this dude, Jesus. That's your first step. And if you're ready to give your life to Christ, I'm right here for you. As we sing this song, come up here, let me know, and I'll pray for you. Let's go to this song and let's consider what Jesus has asked us to do. What kind of soil are we going to be? Let's respond. Invitation 558. We're going to do, let's just do verses 1 and 2. Actually, let's do 1 and 4. 1 and 4.